1,000 years has passed. This was the focal point that all those rituals we looked at last night were all pointing towards. This was the moment of time where God had sent forth His Son, and He attempted to declare to the world through crucifixion the battle that must be fought in order for God to save His people. And it's God who chose this, as you're going to look at this morning. He chose this method of crucifixion for the public demonstration of His righteousness. That's a good discussion question, really, for this morning about why this was a better way to go than any other method that, you know, God could have used all kinds of different things. But He chose crucifixion. So you come to that moment, and you look at that, and you figure, well, this is what the Apostle Paul, you know, says, that when he got to Corinth, he knew nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Or you look back at the life of Paul and wonder, what motivated him? Well, how did he give up all those things that he had? Well, he had been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what God had hoped is that this moment of time, people could look forward to this, look back to this, and that this is the greatest motive He could give us to change our lives. This is it. If this doesn't do it, God can't touch our hearts. This is supposed to change our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And today you've come to that point. So where are we today on the timeline? Do we get agreement today? What do you think? Where would you start? Crucifixion, right? I think everybody starts about the same time, right? What time did they figure He was crucified in the morning? Right? About the, what is it, third hour? So we're looking at right in here in the morning at about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I think pretty well everybody's decided on the fact that He died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're looking at a 6-hour period today where Jesus was crucified on the cross, maybe a little bit extra in there if you count the walking out to this period. So we're somewhere in this region right there, from about 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Now, as far as the map goes, in terms of where we'd be today, right? So finally, Pilate was up in here. You know, this is where Pilate would have then said, all right, take him away and crucify him. And then they would have taken Jesus from there, and he would have walked through this period through here, carrying his cross out to the area where they would have crucified him out there on the western side of Jerusalem. So pretty well everything that we do today is somewhere in this region here and then down out here to where the Golgotha would actually be. Now, things to look for. I think when you start looking at, well, what are you going to get out of this session today? Certainly we're going to get out of it. This is the greatest event God ever could have put forward to us to change our lives. This is the moral impact of the atonement. You can start looking at some of the specifics, though. What impact do you think it might have had on Simon and his family? The fact that he's grabbed as he's going along, probably walking into Jerusalem, they grab him and have him carry the cross. And there's some good indications that impacted him and his family from there on in. If you look at the prophecies of Hosea 9-10, I think it's interesting to look at all those like they did in the workbook. But it's a good question to discuss. If you had read those prophecies ahead of time, would you have been able to figure out how they apply to this series of events right now? Some of the Old Testament types, I think those are good to look at that parallel Jesus' crucifixion. They tried to do that in the workbook right there, where you look at some of those that may have paralleled. I'm not sure all of those are necessarily legitimate, but you can certainly discuss that and see what you think. There may be some others that were not listed in the workbook you could bring up as well. And would those Old Testament types, would they have been something Jesus could draw on to help him through this right now? Is this part of Bible prophecy for him, that he could now receive strength from the fact that God had predicted all along this is what would happen and God will get you through this? I think it's also valid to discuss why don't the Gospels emphasize and dramatically describe the agony of crucifixion? Sometimes people will do that in exhortations or they'll give us Bible classes on that, but when Josh just did that reading, did you notice how it's just like, and they crucified him? And it's like the Gospels don't do that. And there has to be a reason. And I think that's worth looking at today. Why don't they tell us the agony of the crucifixion if that's what God had intended us to remember? And why did God have the two thieves crucified at the same time of Jesus? I think that's also a valid question to ask. This is not by just random events. God knew what He was doing. This is His Son. He's going to help Him through this. And the thieves end up at this same point. I think really today what you really want to get out of this, the take home in the end, is how the crucifixion of Christ becomes a motivating force in our lives. What does this do to the way we live? When we really focus in on this and we remember this and we consider what God had done and what Christ had cooperated with in the destruction of sin, what does that do to the way we live? I think in your workbook they attempted to look at this idea when they were talking about his garment, that his garment wasn't meant and it rent, and they discussed the idea of divisions and looked at some of the, I think that was a worthwhile discussion to have as young people. What can you do as young people to prevent division from occurring in your ecclesia? How can you try to mend divisions that have already happened, or families that don't get along, or young people that are you know, maybe off and on their own and they've sort of pulled away? What can we do as young people to try to mend those divisions? They also looked at how Jesus dealt with rejection without becoming depressed. I think there were some discussion questions on that. That's probably a good one to look at. Because in ecclesial life, whatever you do in ecclesial life, there are going to be times where people reject what you've done. It's very easy to get rejected, either at school, if you're in a public school, or in ecclesial life sometimes, or even in a family, maybe you feel rejected. How did he deal with rejection without becoming depressed? And how did he deal with all the reviling and the ridicule without retaliating? How did he do that when they're laughing at him? He's up on the cross, they're jeering him, you know, you saved others, you can't save yourself. You know, if you really are the Son of God, come on down. And he's having to put up with all. See, this is what the Gospels emphasize, is what they were doing, and Christ never retaliated. See, the Gospels emphasize his destruction of sin. And the darkness. I know sometimes people look at the darkness and they look at it in a negative way, in darkness. But I really believe if you examine what happened here with the darkness, God actually sent the darkness as a response to Christ asking for help. And during the darkness, you're going to find some really interesting things take place. And when God lifted the darkness, that was the sign that he knew that it was at the end. You can also look at the impact Jesus had on others while going through these trials. I mean, here he is being crucified, and he's concerned about Peter when he looks over at him. He's concerned about Simon, you know, who's probably talking with him as he's helping to carry the cross. And in the end, Simon becomes a believer. The weeping women of Jerusalem. I think they dealt with all of these in your workbook. But, you know, Jesus is talking to them while they're, you know, he's being crucified. He's carrying his cross. And he's talking to them. You better get ready for what's coming on you. Look at what he did with the thief. And even he's trying to take care of Mary, trying to link her up with John. His focus was on helping other people all the way through this. This is a mechanism to help us endure trials. And I really believe from this week, hopefully we can all go home and remember this for ourselves when trials come on us. And I think it's a valid thing that we can suggest to other people who are going through real severe trials, that this was the mechanism that helped Jesus, and therefore this would be a valid mechanism to help them as well. Get involved. Help other people. Get the focus off of me and onto someone else. And it really is a technique you can use to try to help endure through trials. I think it's good to look at why God arranged for crucifixion, as they did in your workbook, that he certainly orchestrated the events at this time, that it would all happen right now. He didn't want the Jewish way of killing Jesus, their normal way of stoning people. Later on, it was okay with Stephen, but not here with Jesus Christ. And it certainly was recently implemented by the Romans. It's also interesting to look at the fact that crucifixion, and I remember growing up, I used to think when people would describe crucifixion and they'd give these real dramatic descriptions of it, you almost get the feeling that it was like the worst form of torture ever imaginable. And it turns out it really isn't. There were other types of torture that people could have used at that time. It was bad enough, but it wasn't necessarily the worst. But there's something about crucifixion that God wanted, because it intermixed this idea with a public declaration. And that's probably something you can look at as well. You also might look at the idea of how did people miss this? How did they read the Bible, study the Bible? How did the believers listen to Jesus talk about how the Son of Man would be mistreated, he would be crucified, he would die, and then rise the third day? How did they read over all that and just sort of like skim over what they didn't really want to hear, and just all they focused on was, oh, the kingdom's coming. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? How did that happen? And I think the warning to ourselves is be careful that we don't do the same thing with Bible prophecy. we can sort of skim over the ones that we don't like and emphasize the goal of getting there into the kingdom. But it's just a valid thing to look at, this idea that how did they miss this? When we look back at it, we say, oh, it was so obvious now. But they certainly didn't see it at the time. And I think it's certainly worth talking about today. You know, how did Christ get through this? He went through extreme suffering and torture. He never gave in to sin. So look through, as you're going through this today, and try to categorize what helped him get through this in his battle with sin. Because these are the tools that God wants us to use as well. If it helped Jesus get through it, then certainly we want to grab a hold of those tools today and look at what might help us to walk faithfully when we're put under pressure as well. So those are some of the things you can look at today. Hopefully all the discussion leaders will have plenty of good stuff to talk about, and you can have another good day of discussion. But remember, this is the day, this one here, that God felt was the most important thing of all times, with the greatest motivation ever to turn us away from sin, that we might serve the living God. Have fun.